Welcome to the Sportscast, September 20th, 2018. We're having our third episode of the Sportscast today, and we're bunching things together. I had a sick week early on, so I had to bunch things together a little bit. Usually Ryan starts at right towards the beginning of the week, and then we have Justin Riley somewhere in the week, and then Tyler towards the end, and then Jeff on Friday for NFL preview. And today we're going to talk about college football. Well, this episode will be college football with a slant of Alabama. And, of course, no other person, the official Alabama correspondent for the Sportscast, Justin Riley, welcome.
Man, glad to be back for week number two with you, man.
Yeah, man, back to back. It's we haven't seen this since the Swole Tide days, but I'm glad you're here to discuss the whole situation with college football and, of course, Alabama. Alabama had a convincing win against Mississippi, 62-7. Tyler calls Alabama a juggernaut offense. Justin, are you feeling comfortable with Alabama?
Yeah, I'm feeling comfortable. But the thing is, I'm still a little skeptical. I think a lot of people are still using Ole Miss as the measuring stick for how great Alabama is. And to be honest with you, I think you can fairly say that, because Ole Miss's defense was, for lack of a better word, just horrible. I was a bit surprised in their defensive performance, simply based on the fact of that they have heard all season, namely last week, all week leading up to the game, about how bad they were. So I thought they were going to come into the game a little bit more inspired. And as always, Ole Miss, without any doubt, every game against Alabama comes in with a chip on their shoulder, and always, with the exception of a few years, always comes in playing tough, and it's usually their best game of the season. So I really wasn't expecting the downright destruction of the Rebels that occurred this past Saturday. I think that I'm not trying to take anything away from our offense. Our offense is just a thing of beauty, a thing to be watched. And I think as far as intangibles go, I was really impressed. Do we have a great team? Yes. How great? I think it's really unfair until we start playing the LSUs, the Mississippi States, the Auburns, so on and so forth. I think Texas A&M is going to be a test for us as well. I think 3 weeks into the season, I think we look great. I mean, again, I say, and I definitely warn people, and I'm not trying to talk down about my own team, don't use the Ole Miss game as a measuring stick. Now, I will give the defense for Alabama some incredible props, and my apologies as well, because I was really concerned about their ability to play against the pass, because before the Ole Miss game, they were allowing receivers to kind of run freely, and average receivers at best, certainly not the caliber of what they were to face when facing Metcalf and his crew over there at Ole Miss. So I was a little concerned. However, our defense, especially our secondary, just showed up in an incredible way. Man, it just really impressive. Other than the first play of the game, the defense, namely the secondary, just really showed out. Diggs definitely made a big impact, knocking down some balls that were pretty on point. And had he not been there, you may have seen a little bit of a different outcome on the scoreboard, definitely in the first half. And Deontay Thompson played insane. And then, of course, up front, they were able to get to Taimu and affect him in an incredible way. He coughed up the football. He wasn't able to have good timing on his throws. Matter of fact, they shook him so bad that he was never able to recover. And I was very surprised, because usually Taimu is a very poised, confident quarterback, and usually if something negative happens, he's able to bounce back. He wasn't able to do that against Alabama.
That's unbelievable. Tua had 191 yards, two touchdowns. Jalen Hurts had 85 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. And we saw a little bit of Mac Jones. He had 30 yards.
Absolutely. The score was so out of hand that we had a lot of guys able to play. That's a great thing because we do have a lot of young guys, and we're definitely thin at some positions. So getting to those quality reps was very, very instrumental and very helpful to our team, especially down the stretch of the season. I would like to have seen the kind of numbers Tua could have put up had he stayed in the entire game. But thankfully, we were able to, you know, put up a score like we were to where he could come out and at just the 191 yards passing. Because he looked like he wasn't going to stop, man. He looked like he was in video game mode, and he could have easily passed for three or four more touchdowns and maybe 500 yards. Who knows? Jalen came in, and other than that pick he threw, which I'm still questioning to this day, what in the world he was looking at. But regardless, his passing has improved. That touchdown pass he threw to Jerry Jeudy there in the corner was a thing of beauty. Definitely impressed with his development in the passing game. Not quite sure what his future with Alabama is going to be. But just really impressed with the quarterbacks in that game.
Looking onward, you guys are going to face Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. Do you see this match a little tougher than Ole Miss? How do you see this game?
I definitely see it as a tougher match than what Ole Miss was. I think with Texas A&M, they're more complete. One thing Texas A&M has that Ole Miss does not have is a good defense. Now, Texas A&M the past couple of years has given up a lot of points defensively, but they're starting to get a little bit better. They're starting to settle in. They're starting to get some good players, especially up front. They may have one of the better defensive lines that not many people are talking about. Texas A&M is a really good team. If you look past them, they can beat you. Matter of fact, I go back to a couple weeks ago when they played Clemson. In all purposes, man, they should have won that game if it was not for a technicality. Referees blew that call, and that could have resulted in Texas A&M winning that game. But they didn't, so here we are. But that still does not detract from what A&M was capable of doing.
Now, did you know that Jimbo Fisher's getting paid a lot of money, and he's been called the Alabama Slayer? What do you think about that?
Alabama Slayer?
Yeah.
I don't remember him exactly slaying us. Matter of fact, the last time we played him, they didn't actually slay us. They got beat convincingly by us. So I'm not exactly sure where that comes from.
Yeah. Well,
he's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. He's a good coach, definitely a good coach. He's starting to build something pretty special there at A&M. And I say give him another year. They're going to be a tough team to beat in the West.
Last time was October 22nd, 2016. Alabama beat A&M 33-14. 2015, Alabama beat them 41-23, and 2014, well, October 18th, 2014, Alabama destroyed them 59-0, and then 2013, 49-42, Alabama, and the last time they won was in 2012, A&M beating Alabama 29-24.
Yeah, I've done my best to try to erase that memory from my head. That was an awful, awful, awful time for Alabama.
But
don't get me started on that soapbox of what we should have done. I mean, that was years ago, but, you know, still fresh.
Now that, you know, that three games have come by, do you think Tuau is unofficially or maybe officially, in your eyes, the starting quarterback?
Well, without question. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa was the official starter after game one, maybe even the summer. There's no disputing his ability and what he's been able to do. how he takes command of the offense, also the team as a leader. There's no way you can even think about sitting him other than, you know, when it's time for when the score is out of hand, or other than trying to, you know, change things up a little bit, but bringing him back into the game. I just think he is the guy, and he is the key to Alabama's success this season.
That's something that,
like I said earlier, I mean, we've yet to see what he can do in an entire game. And this is, you know, the numbers he's putting up, I mean, if you look at it, he is still perfect on third down conversions. And nobody else can boast that. So imagine what he could do given four quarters. Now, don't get me wrong, I definitely would love to see us put away a game early so we don't have to think about, you know, going four quarters. But if he has to, I'm thinking he's going to do a pretty dang good job. And I know it's too early to say. Maybe even start a little bit of Heisman conversation.
Let's talk about what Ryan Crista will call the Rodney Dangerfield of college football, LSU beating Auburn by a point. What do you think about LSU? Are they a threat? Are they the real deal? Was this the biggest game of the weekend?
One of the biggest games of the weekend. Definitely the most entertaining. I don't really think that Ohio State, TCU was really all that, to be honest with you. As far as LSU, for me, the jury's still out. I think they're doing some good things, but they really haven't just taken over a game other than that game against Miami. I think, you know, LSU are benefactors of the fact that Auburn didn't put them away when they had the opportunity to do it. And Auburn, quite honestly, did the same thing against Washington, but were able to recover. There are several times in that game where Auburn could have put them away, but did not. And Auburn, I think, was a superior team, but they just kind of goofed around and didn't just shut the door when they had the opportunity to. And LSU is a scrappy, nasty team that if you let them hang around, they're going to beat you. You know,
yeah, and you
that's
can't sleep
what
on them.
The MO has been. They're definitely better than what they have been, and I think that is in large part to their balanced offense now with a quarterback Morrow coming in. He's definitely one of the better quarterbacks they've had in quite some time. So they're able to pass, and they got some really good receivers, tall, physical receivers who'll go up and catch the ball. And Auburn was having fits against those receivers. Of course, the running game is solid. And their defense, whew, nasty, man. Greedy Williams is a beast. Don't want to throw to his side. But Auburn had the opportunity to put him away. They didn't. Now, some on the flip side can argue that the referees won that game by some bad calls. Yes and no. The calls were horrible, and it did put LSU in a position to win. But what put LSU in a position to win was Auburn. They had a chance to put them away early. They didn't. Thus putting them in that position they were, and the outcome was what you saw.
LSU's schedule is quite pretty heavy if you look at if you looked at it. They played Louisiana Tech, which should be a win. But then they got Mississippi. They got Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, and then Alabama. If they win all those games, they're number one.
Well, I don't think anybody could argue that. I mean, you sit there and you beat Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama, you're the best team in the country, hands down. No arguments from anyone. But we don't want them beating Alabama, though. So.
I mean, okay, even if they get to Alabama undefeated, where would you put them in like the position wise?
You know, you got to put them top five for sure.
Because right now they're number six.
Maybe even top three, because their resume is a lot more impressive than the majority of the teams in the top five right now. They're beating quality teams. You know? And if they continue at that, beating Georgia, beating Mississippi State, they might be in the conversation to move up to two or three.
I think
you can't deny them that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you possibly – have beaten, at that point, how many top 10 teams?
It's yeah,
you're
schedule.
Number two.
It's pretty heavy.
It's very heavy.
Here is the top 10 right now from the AP. Alabama, number one, then Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Stanford, Notre Dame, Auburn, and Washington. How do you see the top 10?
Basically the way it is right now, there's really nothing that stands out greater than others, other than what LSU has been able to do on paper. I think maybe you'd even possibly move them up, but then, you know, you still got some heavyweights. I don't think Clemson yet is quite strong as their ranking yet, but they really have been tested. And to be honest with you, I think they've been kind of bored with their schedule thus far, but I think that's going to change once they enter into ACC play. I really am not impressed with Ohio State, to be honest with you. I don't think they should be ranked as high as they are. I think maybe LSU should be ranked where they are. Well, that's just my opinion.
I do concur with that, and we'll see when the coach comes back from his suspension. Let's switch to NFL. Josh Gordon to the Patriots. How do you see that?
Well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have touched out of the 10-foot pole. I think ability-wise, Josh Gordon has unlimited potential and definitely has the ability to be a great receiver. But here's the downside. The man's a head case, a distraction, and just an overall nuisance to an organization. I think you're taking on a lot of baggage. However, on the other side of that, you've got Bill Belichick, who's good at bringing in troubled players and getting them to perform and getting them to fall in line. Now, can he do that with Josh Gordon? I think if anybody can, it'll be him. But if he can do it, then I think you're wasting your time having him there. Yeah, I mean, he's able to keep LeGarrette Blount in line, and he was a troublemaker. I don't know, man. I think it's a reach. I would have even argued that maybe get Dez Bryant instead of him. But it's the lesser of two evils. I mean, I hope for his sake that he turns the corner and is able to start his career anew as a player, as a person, and is able to do some good things.
And how many wins do you think Cleveland will get this year?
I still want to say that they might contend for the playoffs in their division. I think they have the some good players in place to do some good things. Now, I think in that division they could get in the playoffs with just being above 500, but I think that they could finish decent. I say high end, not 9 or 10 wins, low end, 7 or 8 wins.
We'll see what happens. Ready for predictions?
Absolutely.
Texas A&M versus Alabama.
No, you want to lead off with that.
Why not? With a bang.
Oh, with a bang. I think Alabama being at home is going to be huge for momentum, and I think Alabama's not going to be caught napping. I think it'll be a close contest in the first half. In the second half, I feel like Alabama's going to pull away. I see them maybe winning 35-14 if Alabama is able to corral Kellen Mond and not allow him to make it big plays with his arm as well as his legs and keep him in check just like they were able to do against Jordan Ta'amu. And then slow down Travion Williams at that running back position. I think they'll be in a good position to beat them and beat them convincingly. But if Alabama beats themselves and makes mistakes and then reverts back on the secondary to playing the way they were the first part of the season, it's going to be difficult. Definitely don't sleep on Kellen Mond at quarterback. Man, that guy is good. He's one of the quarterbacks that nobody's talking about. And if you sleep on him, you're going to get burned. So, but I think it's going to be a good contest. But I think Alabama, as long as they play their game, stay strong on defense, and don't make mistakes, they're going to pull away in the second half.
You think this would be 35-14? Do you think this would be a better measuring stick than Mississippi?
Well, absolutely. I think Texas A&M is a better team right now than Ole Miss, just because they're good on offense. They're also good on defense. Are they great at both? Not necessarily. I mean, their offense is averaging 40-plus points a game. Their defense also is not giving up a whole lot either. So it's going to be a better measuring stick. The measuring stick, no, I don't think the measuring stick is going to be until that night in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, no matter what happens to LSU along the way, but the schedule is starting to get a little bit more rampant. Number 7, Stanford versus Oregon. Number 20, Oregon.
Man, I think both these teams are really being given more hype than they really should. No offense to our friend that's a big Oregon fan.
Tyler.
yeah, sorry, Tyler. I got respect for your Oregon Ducks. You have one of our former players, Dallas Womack, starting for you. Definitely like to pull for him. And definitely have one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. I think if Oregon can get their receivers going and get them to stop dropping passes and just be in sync with their quarterback, I think that Oregon can beat them. And
you can say now, Stanford. Don't worry about it.
it's tough because. If Oregon can really get the receivers going, they got a chance to run away with this and score a lot of points. But if they're not able to, it's going to be one of those tough grinding out games. And if it's a tough grinding out game, Stanford's going to win. And I don't know if Oregon really has the defense to stop Bryce Love, to be honest. But then again, who does? I mean, I guess I should rephrase it, limit Bryce Love. I think Oregon wins 34-31.
Oregon wins in Eugene. Game day will be in Eugene, so should be exciting.
It will. Florida, always with the game day crew.
Yeah, Florida Gators at the Tennessee Volunteers.
The audience definitely won't win at that. well, you know, you got a tale of two teams. They're just really trying to rebuild and really trying to find themselves again. It's a good rivalry. It's lost a little bit of its luster just because both programs have definitely not been at the level they're accustomed to. Tennessee is trying to get going, under their new head coach. And I think eventually, they're going to be good again. It's just going to take some time because, you know, he came in there to a situation where he doesn't have a whole lot to work with. And then again, Florida really has a lot they got to work on. Felipe Franks really hasn't lived up to the high billing coming out of high school that he was giving. And I think it's going to be one of those low scoring affairs. Florida wins 20-17.
Gators. And let's go NFL, Jets versus Browns.
Oh, man. Depends on what Jets quarterback shows up. I think Cleveland's going to win this game. I think they're due for one. And because they had that tie against Pittsburgh that really should have won. I mean, you give up that many turnovers, you're supposed to beat a team. And then they had that close call against New Orleans. You know, I think Cleveland's had enough of that. And I also think they've had enough of being considered the worst team in the NFL. I think Cleveland's going to come out and they're going to win.
Their first win since 2016.
Yes. And I think that Cleveland defense is going to tee off on the Jets offense.
Awesome. Raiders at the Dolphins.
Dolphins all day, baby. Kenyon Drake has a big game.
Cowboys at the Seahawks.
Man, that's just a toss-up because you don't know what you're going to get. Are you going to get Cowboys week one or are you going to get Cowboys week two? I mean, you really don't know because I don't know if the team knows who they are right now, to be honest with you.
They're lost.
I mean, and I can't just be trust fully in Tavon Austin being great. Dallas still lacks a big thing. That's having a big time wide receiver. And the thing is, teams know that, so they're really going to key on Zeke because they know that Zeke is the guy. And Seattle really hasn't gotten anything going just yet either. I think the edge, though, has to go to Russell Wilson and his crew, and I think they're going to win that in a close affair.
Pats versus the Lions.
Pats, I think the Lions still are playing frustrated right now. They're not really finding themselves just yet, and I just don't. Yeah.
It's okay.
Pats win.
Broncos at the Ravens.
Ravens 74-3.
49ers at the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm a Ravens guy. I think the Ravens bounce back. I think they learned a lesson after last week. Joe Flacco had a horrible game. Definitely played uncharacteristic. I think Baltimore just has too much talent, especially on offense this year, to fall short. How they respond to Mosley being out, that's going to be a good question. I think the Ravens going to win. I think their defense is still pretty strong. I still think they have one of the better secondaries in their conference right now. Marlon Humphrey looking good, being a solid shutdown corner. I see the Ravens winning 24-17.
Okay. You could stick 73. They could do it, but we'll see if the Bills was that bad or maybe the Ravens are not that bad as what people thought last week. 49ers at the Chiefs.
Chiefs, man. I don't think the 49ers can keep up with Mahomes right now.
Oh, he's Garoppolo, a juggernaut.
Garoppolo's really not showing up right now.
He's Crapolo.
So, I mean, he is. Not necessarily his fault. I really don't think he has a lot of the pieces in place to help him just yet. However, Mahomes does. So I'm going to go with them.
Packers at the Redskins.
Interesting matchup. I think Redskins, man, I think their defense is just really strong, especially up front with Jonathan Allen, De'Ron Payne, and those linebackers, man. I think they're going to give Aaron Rodgers and company a fit. But I think it's going to be a close affair. Redskins win 24-21.
And then Steelers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Fitzmagic.
Man, Fitzmagic. All the way, brother. Steelers, still they're playing frustrated. They're playing out of whack, out of sorts. They hadn't been able to get it back together. They've wasted too much time on Le'Veon Bell. They need to let it go and let Connor play and let him be the man and just forget about Le'Veon Bell. But, man, Tampa Bay's got together. Fitzmagic is on fire. O.J. Howard's on fire. They looking good. So I think they're going to win. They're going to win big.
James Winston or Fitzmagic?
Fitzmagic. How can you sit him? Fitzmagic has played better in these few games than James Winston has put together his entire career.
Ooh, not because he played for FSU, but anyways.
No, not at all. He's not it.
Well, anyways, that is it for our predictions. Justin, you have a competition going on, don't you?
I do, man. Proud to say, coming up Saturday, September 22nd, 9 a.m., I'll be competing my first powerlifting competition since 2001. Wow. That's a long time. It's going to be the USPA, the United States Powerlifting Association, Mississippi Powerlifting Championships. Definitely excited to get back into something. I'm not quite where I used to be numbers-wise, but, man, I got to get back into it, decide to have a goal and have a why and a purpose to what I'm doing. And the numbers are going to come back, of course. But this is a big deal, man. I'm going to use this as a platform, first and foremost, to glorify God, but two, also to try to get my company 12-1 training up and running again and use it as a platform to help others who are in need. To achieve their goals as well as to have a better quality of life. So this is a big on all counts. This competition is more so to achieve a personal goal. I'm not really looking to, you know, I guess say compete against the others there. I'm just wanting to go there, successfully, nail all my attempts. I'll be competing in deadlift and bench press, not a full meet. But like I said, my goal is to hit all my attempts and I'll come away, victorious in that way.
How much can you bench?
Right now I'm at 315, which, is a far cry from what I used to do. I used to bench press 425 pounds. It'll come back though. Deadlift, I'm looking around 420 at this point, maybe even more. It depends on how amped up I am. If I come out there feeling like, the ultimate warrior, I might do more. Who knows? But the key is hit all my lifts and also be injury free.
There you go. Justin, how can people reach you?
Again, you can reach me, via 12-1 training. That's the number 12-1 spelled out training at gmail.com. You can also find me on, Facebook, just / 12-1 training. Also, you can always hit me up on Twitter if you want to, follow me on game days. I like to give live commentary on the Alabama games, but also, we'll give commentary on my business throughout the week. That's at 12-1 training on Twitter. Then on Instagram, same at 12-1 training. And, you can reach me there. Post a lot of, workout pics, videos, and overall inspirational, material.
We should do a recap, like have a show right after the Alabama game and just go right, you know, fresh after the game, you know, and talk about it.
Absolutely. Might be able to do that. Just got to see what's going on.
I know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You're a family man, right? So you don't have the liberty to do that type of stuff anymore.
And we're also in the process of moving, too. So so we got a lot going on.
Moving to a bigger house.
Yes.
Anyways,
Big
games this weekend. College football. We got NFL. I don't think NHL started. I've been hearing a lot of NHL news, but I don't think they started. So a lot to go after, go to watch. You know, a couple of games, Alabama, Texas A&M, really a big game this weekend. And Stanford and Oregon. I think college football has better games than the NFL. So definitely, you know, keep an eye on that. And we'll see what happens. Justin Riley.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Justin, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Man, I thank you for having me for a second week in a row. Hopefully I can have more than 3 listeners this time and really get my podcast going. I enjoy it every time. Great time, and look forward to many in the future. Especially love the opportunity to talk about Alabama football.
Awesome, Justin. Thanks. And thanks, guys, for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes, on a Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It'll help us out tremendously. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Absolutely.